Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. It's winter time. Christmas is upon us. But still, we're always getting spooky out here. When I was 8 years old, both my parents worked full-time. My dad was predominantly on third shift at his job, and my mom was an elementary school teacher. We lived literally right behind the road from my grandparents in a very small town. It was getting close to my 9th birthday when I contracted strep throat and scarlet fever. I was severely sick, could barely speak, had the first case of cold sweats that I remembered in my life, and could barely pull myself out of bed to even use the restroom. I was absolutely miserable, and of course, being as young as I was, I didn't take the pain very well. My poor mother was at a loss of what to do with her working, and my dad dealing to use daylight hours to sleep. The first day I was sick, perhaps it was a Tuesday, my birthday would fall on a Friday. My dad stayed up for most of the day with me, made me some food, let me sleep on his lap on the couch, wiped my forehead down, made sure I took my medication, etc. But on the second day, my grandmother had called and offered to let me stay at her house so my dad could sleep. He said yes and woke me up around 7 in the morning to drive me up to her house. My grandfather also worked at this time too, so he was already gone to work when I arrived. I don't remember too much of the early morning. I probably just slept in my grandmother's bed, tossing and turning when I'd wake up feeling extra bad. She encouraged me to swallow my awful tasting medicine, a little more gently than my dad did. She did fix me up some tomato soup to try and eat, and it was the first time since I had gotten sick that I had an appetite. I should mention my grandmother had this cute Yorkshire Terrier named Samson. He was very docile, not like the usual annoying barking all the time terriers. Samson came into the room and curled up to me as I dozed. I do know when I woke up at some point. It had to be in the early afternoon, lunchtime, because I could hear the TV faintly from the living room, and it was on some game show. My grandmother had a ritual of eating her lunch while watching a game show. I think it was The Price is Right. I was trying to fall back asleep, but I had gotten this really bad headache, maybe from dehydration. I was on the verge of sleep when I was jolted awake by Samson's yelp that erupted from the living room. The terrier curled up next to my feet, perked up, but didn't move. I knew I had heard his name being called too, but it was odd he didn't respond.
Samson.
My grandmother called again.
Samson! Samson!
The dog still didn't run out of the room to her. I was confused, as he was so obedient to my grandmother. He was almost frozen, staring at the cracked open door but making no attempt to go to her. She called.
Samson.
Maybe 3 or 4 more times. Then I got annoyed. I remember flinging the covers off of me. Of course, my clothes are sticky with sweat and I just generally felt uncomfortable and groggy. I stumbled out of the room wiping my eyes, asking, Grandma, do you need Samson? He's in your room with me. I'm in the living room, and I have to do a double take. The TV is still on and blaring. There's a bowl of soup sitting on the coffee table and an open Pepsi next to it, but my grandmother isn't anywhere in the room. Maybe she's in the bathroom. I crossed the room and went past the kitchen. Empty too. I got to the bathroom door, which was shut and locked. Nothing. I then opened it. No one was in there. The house is empty. It's not a huge house either. I covered all of the rooms. So yes, my first reaction was to get scared. I could barely hear my grandmother calling for the dog, but she's nowhere inside. I could feel my hands and feet get all tingly. I started shouting for my grandma, but my voice is just echoing through the small, cramped home. Samson had gotten up at this point and was sitting near the couch, looking completely undisturbed. I fumbled for the remote and turned the TV off, and yelled, more like wheezed, to the top of my lungs, which you could imagine how painful this was with a scratchy infected throat. Grandma! The worst part happened next. I heard her shouting my name back, clear as ever, like she was standing only feet away. I started crying now, scared out of my mind. I feel like maybe it had been a ghost. I grew up with scary ghost stories, courtesy of my dad, and I'm convinced now I'm in a room with a ghost. And then she, or whatever it was, proceeded to call my name again. Then there was a second voice, definitely not my grandmother's. It was deeper, definitely more masculine, and absolutely terrifying as it shouted,
"Come to the front door!"
I did not do that. Instead, I made sure to run back to my grandparents' bedroom, lock the door, and pick up the phone on the nightstand. I called my own home phone, and my dad's sleeping voice answered. Through a barely comprehensible voice, I managed to croak something like,
"Dad, there's someone in the house, and I can't find Grandma. She's gone."
My dad, of course, he jumped out of bed, grabbed his Swiss Army knife he kept in a drawer next to the bed, and ran down the road to the house in his PJs and bare feet. He ran up to the front door, jiggled the handle. It was locked. So he made his way around, and since he knew the garage code, he just punched it in and got inside. A quick sweep of the three rooms of the house showed no one was in there. It's not like there was really anywhere to hide. I ran out of the room once I was sure he was there and began bawling in his arms. He kept reassuring me that no one was there and asked if I had known where Grandma possibly was. I said I hadn't and explained I'd woken up to her calling for Samson, but she hadn't been anywhere there. This was back when cell phones were definitely around, but there were no iPhones and my grandparents certainly wouldn't have been buying them anyways. My dad had one, but not on him at the time. I could tell he was trying to keep calm, so we just said that we would need to go back to our house. I was sure he was probably going to call the police at this point just because my grandmother had still not popped in, and her car had been in the garage when he got in. If she left, she had gone on foot. We hadn't even made it two steps out of the driveway, when from my grandmother's neighbor's house, my grandmother was strolling out, chatting to the neighbor. She saw my dad and then me, crying my eyes out, and immediately ran over to see what was wrong. She was super apologetic. She said that she stepped out right when she heated up the soup to go see the neighbor, who had called about looking at something my grandmother was going to buy. My grandma had figured I'd be asleep and she'd only be gone for about 10 or 15 minutes. At first, people may have assumed I was feverish, therefore delusional, but I still stand by what happened. I know for a fact I was definitely alone in that house, save for Samson, but the voices I heard were real. For a while, I was hesitant to go back to my grandmother's house because this happened in the middle of the day. I later read stories at school about Wendigos or creatures that would disguise their voices to lure people. This is the closest explanation I could ever form about what I had heard. I never shared to anyone that I thought that this was for sure a Wendigo, and chalked it up to just maybe a ghost. I'm close to my 20s now. Last year was the first time I shared this story fully with my grandpa, who used to just say that the fever must have made me had bad dreams. We were sitting on the front porch of the house, smoking cigarettes and exchanging stories. When I finished telling him, for the first time, he looked sort of disturbed about it. He finally put his cigarette out and just stared out into the road. Then he cleared his throat and he looked over at me. "You know," he said slowly, "some funny things used to happen around that time. In the middle of the night, I'd wake up to take a piss or something. When at first I'd sit up in the bed, I could hear your grandmother sleeping away, snoring," he chuckled. But his face grew serious again. "Anyways, I'd always hear her calling for the dog." I tried to remain calm, but my voice still shook when I asked him. Even when she was sleeping? Sleep talking? No. He shook his head. I heard her calling from outside. Maybe the living room. I don't know, honey. She'd call for the dog. She'd call my name. All while she was really sleeping next to me. Sleeping like a baby. Have you ever told anyone? No. I don't want to scare her. She's really scared of ideas like ghosts and wendigos and stuff. That's why when you were younger and this thing happened, I told her just to remember you had been sick, fever and all. Probably having nightmares. He looked gravely at me. Don't repeat this to her, please, honey. She's really not the type to be scared. Of course. I wanted to cry. I had this itchy, creepy feeling suddenly about being in that house. Grandpa, do you still hear it sometimes? Oh, yes. He was now reaching into his breast pocket to get out another cigarette. Every night. But you just gotta remember not to do what it says. Even the dog figured it out. If it says to come to the door, you stay away from the door. If it says, I don't know, come here, you just stay still in the room until it quits calling. With that, he asked to borrow my lighter again.